Welcome to this episode of Coffee with Source. My name is Emmanuel, and I'm so glad that you're here. On today's episode, we're going to discuss the dark night of the soul. I really dislike that phrasing because in my experience and the hundreds of people that I've interviewed so far, the dark night of the soul is often many things, but a one-night affair. My very special guest today, Galiana, will discuss how she was able to perceive light through the darkness over many, many years when life was handing her some incredibly challenging cards. She managed to keep moving forward, stay curious, and ultimately, this led her to unveiling her gifts, pure joy, and happiness. Stay tuned. Welcome to another episode of Coffee with Source. My guest today is a spiritual development teacher, a spiritual life purpose coach, and dream builder. And I'm so excited to be having this conversation. Welcome to this episode. How are you?
I am great, Emma. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So for our listeners, would you take a moment and introduce yourself?
I would love to. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm so honored to be able to speak to your audience today. My life has been a long journey coming, but to put it in a short synopsis for you, basically, I am someone that has overcome a lot of adversity and learned a lot of incredible lessons along the way. And I took those lessons and was guided divinely by the amazing spirits that connected to me to help me heal, to turn it around and reach out to others and help them that along their journey in the same path. And basically that turned into me doing a lot of research, putting the things that I learned and knew into some courses and some teachings. And I basically became a spiritual development teacher. And that just kind of grew from there to a bunch of all kinds of crazy credentials and credits that basically mean I'm here to help you on your journey and help you heal anything you need to heal so that you can live your best life and learn to love and enjoy life again.
I love that, Galiana. And I have a question that I didn't ask you, you know, in the pre-interview, but is your last name really Angel?
No, that's actually my God-given birth name.
Wow.
I tend to drop the last name just because I feel it's so impersonal, and you tend to have people want to call you by your first name out of respect, out of, civilities. And to me, I just would love to make friends with everybody and I want to put everybody at ease. So I want them just to forget that and call me by my name, the first and middle. So, and to be honest with you, to give you a really quick little insight into that, Galiana is my soul name. It's the name that I realized is the name that I really resonate with. It kept coming up in multiple things. Anytime throughout life I had a chance to role play, like in classes and courses and workshops, even like going to the Renaissance Fair with my homeschooled kids, we would make up these little personas of who they were to just play out for fun for the Renaissance Fair if they lived back in those ages. And this name just kept coming up over and over again. And I didn't know why it resonated so deeply. Angel is my name, but I wound up finding out in my spiritual awakening, and it may sound crazy to some, that in meditation, the name popped up in meditation with spirit. And when I inquired what it is and what it meant, it said it embodies your soul. That's the name that you have resonated with for multiple lifetimes, and it's part of you. And so that's why it comes up so constantly. And I said, well, how can I be trying to find my true authentic self at a soul level if I don't identify with that name with others? So I tacked it on to the angel and it became my teaching name, kind of your pen name, so to speak, because I am an author as well. And everybody kind of dabbles with whether to use their birth name versus a pen name.
Absolutely.
But it really kind of stuck in.
Yeah, it's a persona.
With others. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. In my life, it's always been Emmanuel has been, you know, the name that my very, very close friends and family use and identify me as. And Emma's always been, I call it my stage name.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It's a perfect identity. Yeah.
So I want to ask you, honestly, in order for someone to, you know, experience an awakening at a level that you have, you have to go through some pretty thick, mucky, traumatic experiences, wouldn't you say? So for for our listeners, because I've connected with so many spiritual healers and intuitive mediums and people along the way. And one thing that we all have in common is some childhood trauma or some traumatic experiences throughout our lives. So can you share with our listeners a little bit about your quite lengthy dark night of the soul and how that, you know, that propelled you, how Source helped you through that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't even know what a spiritual awakening was. For your listeners that may be in the same situation, I was brought up in a religious family. I was brought up in a Christian family. My parents never pushed religion on me per se. They left me open to choose for myself, but it was definitely ingrained within me, Bible studies and stories from a young age, even though my mom was a Protestant and my dad was a Catholic and neither of them were practicing constantly. They still, it meant a lot to them, that upbringing that they had been given. So I felt pretty steeped in it. And to me, spiritual meant being in the church. Spiritual meant being close to God, which it does, but that's a whole different parameter of spirituality. And so spiritual awakening wasn't even on my radar because I thought I was awake to God, to Christ. And so I didn't know what that meant. And I didn't realize it till just about 2015, 2016, when I began the full awakening to really know what that meant and understand it. I didn't realize that I had been going through it already for over 20 years. And that was the portion that we call the dark night of the soul, which, as you mentioned, a lot of us have to endure. And I believe it's because it helps us tune into and become aligned with our life purpose. Our life purpose meaning what our soul plan was for this lifetime. Mm. Our soul chose a certain, we all are here for similar reasons, to spread love and to spread light. But we each chose specific reasons and kind of our niche area spiritually that we were going to work on in this lifetime to help humanity. And I didn't know that I needed to be broken down. And I needed to be humbled in a big way. And I was never what I would consider a narcissistic person or a person that was not humble. I just didn't realize how much I needed to be taught compassion.
To grow. Mm.
To grow, to learn empathy on a whole nother level. And basically, after my daughter was born, my second child, I started feeling a lot of physical pain throughout my body. That started in my neck and hands. And before I knew it, within a few months, it was spreading to my entire body. I started experiencing mental health issues. And after this pain didn't go away, and after the medical system couldn't address it, I started really struggling with depression. And right in the height of it, I found out that my husband had been unfaithful to me. Oh. I wound up thinking that I was done having children because my marriage was not in a good place. I thought that was out of the question, considering we weren't doing anything that could produce children except for maybe once a year. And shocked, lo and behold, I found out I was pregnant. And not only was I pregnant, now in my 30s, which I had not anticipated, which, don't get me wrong, 30s is a beautiful time to have children when you're healthy and in a happy marriage. But that wasn't my situation. I had less energy and strength now than I had ever had before. And now I was going to be chasing babies and changing diapers. And I didn't know that my baby was going to be a very special needs baby. I wound up having my son, who for all purposes is normal and healthy, but by parental standards and medical standards, he has been diagnosed and labeled as autistic. He came with a lot of behavioral issues and not an easy child. Beautiful, wonderful child, a lot of gifts in his own right, a beautiful spirit. But until I spiritually woke, I didn't know that these labeled disabilities were actual superpowers and sensitivities that he had that made him very sensitive to the world around him and able to tune in to spirit and to God in a way that I was never capable of.
And I believe that came wholeheartedly. And it's so hard in today's society. Yeah. I'm not sure if you've ever read the book, Would You Teach a Fish to Climb a Tree?
I'll
you know, after the episode we'll chat, but definitely it's been mislabeled. And you know, when we label, we disable often in our society.
Absolutely.
So now you're in a, you know, the sexless marriage. You found out your husband is being unfaithful. And you also find out that you're pregnant, you're in chronic pain, you're fatigued. What's going on in your mind at this time?
I'm losing it, to be honest, to be broken and raw and honest. That's where I was, broken and raw.
That's what we want. Yeah. Because
I literally are
afraid to talk about it. People are afraid to talk about what that feels like when you lay down at night and you don't want to live anymore. You want to hit the reset switch.
Yes. It wasn't pretty. And to be honest with you, I really didn't want to go on anymore. The only thing that kept me going was my children. I came to terms with the fact you go through stages, just like a death. I was dying into myself, the self that I knew, the self that I had dreamt of, the life I had dreamt with my husband. And I had to come to terms with the fact that that life was not what I had thought it was, and that there was a possibility it never would be. And I really kind of had to resign myself to the fact that I could be like this the rest of my life, which at that time was all I knew, and in the heat of it. But there were nights that I literally cried myself to sleep and asked God that if and when my children could be get by without me, I didn't know if I wanted to be here anymore. And I cried a lot of tears and I begged and pleaded for my miracle. I begged and pleaded for the help to get me out of that point. And around the same time as all this was happening, my husband started suffering from chronic pain as well, from a couple of injuries, plus his depression. And I believe our mind is so powerful that our mind and mental state can affect our physical body. So
100%. That's he was the going body, through mind, similar things. Connection. Hmm.
Absolutely. And it really led to him having full body pain. And yet he felt the responsibilities and the stereotypical things that are put on him by society as the man that he not only needed to provide for his family, but he had a special needs son, a daughter who was also had a few needs more than a typical child. He's trying to help me raise my son from a previous marriage, and he feels that we can't make ends meet. He's needing to work two jobs and he can't quit. He can't stop. And so he attempted to get, absolutely. So it just made it worse. That just mounted more and more. He started taking on so many, both of us started taking on so many limiting beliefs about money and about life and survival. And every day was just a survival attempt to get through that day to get to the next. And basically we wound up in the heat of all that, discovering that part of our problem was that we had toxic mold in the house that was making us sick. We, after a bunch of research, wound up finding out it was the worst kind you could have, multiple kinds, by the way, but the two or three worst you could have, we had it in between the walls. You couldn't tell. House looked great, but we had to leave everything. We just had to walk out and leave everything we owned. We didn't have the money to have it properly cleaned. We wound up in a legal battle with our landlord from the house we were renting. just compiling everything 100-fold.
And the plot twist.
My husband, I'm sorry, what?
And I said, and then there's a plot twist.
Yes. Well, yeah. So on top of all that, husband couldn't get the help that he needed from the medical community. Of course, a lot of his stuff wasn't showing up on tests. So they wouldn't help him with his pain. He winds up, without me knowing, trying street drugs. Within a short amount of time, becomes a full-blown opioid addict. Ugh. And then because of his limiting beliefs and because of what he thought at the time he was doing right by not wanting to affect me and our family any more than he had to, couldn't see through the pain to see the consequences and didn't want to affect our budget for his drugs. So he starts running drugs for his drug dealer to avoid affecting our finances, be able to supply his own drugs for his own needs.
How did you find all of this out?
Oh, well, I started being able to tell things were off. You can just tell, you know, part of it in the beginning was intuition, and then it started becoming more and more obvious. He's falling asleep, sitting up in the middle of the day after getting a full night's sleep. And this is like starting to be every day. I start seeing him nodding off at the wheel when he's driving. We tried to just get out and live life. So we went to a rock concert and we're sitting out in the parking lot and he's fallen asleep in the parking lot. This just was not, there's no reason for this. He's supposed to be healthy otherwise. And he's still very young and at a rock concert, you know, you're getting ready, you hear the music, you have the excitement, you're ready to go in and he's falling asleep in the car before he gets out of the car. And he starts showing up late home from work, not being where he says he's supposed to be. And it just, nothing was adding up. So I confronted him and surprisingly, he admitted it and he was ashamed and he said he'd get help, but that turned into several years before he did. But in the meantime, the selling for his own purpose turned into greed and doing it for the money. Because he's not thinking clearly. It's the answer to his prayers. Now he can make hundreds of dollars, even thousands of dollars. And he can give his family what he wants to give. His intentions in his mind are all good. And I can see that as an empath, but I'm thinking clearly. I can see the consequences. So he winds up getting arrested.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm still dealing with all the other things that haven't gone away. And in the midst of all that, while we had to wait, because then the pandemic hits and he hasn't been sentenced and we can't go to court and it keeps getting postponed. And he finds out one day after he got arrested, he wound up being on, you know, in between parole, waiting for the actual sentencing and whatnot, the actual trial or whatever you want to call it. He gets a violation for not checking in he had a 30 urine test when he went to the pretrial officer. Oh, no. So they put him back in jail for 30 days to let him dry out. Well, he gets out. I bring him home. By this point, we're separating, but he's in the midst of his hell and I can't bring my heart to turn him out.
Abandoning.
Even though I wound up doing so at a later time, but you try and save this person. They're the father of your child. You try and keep them alive. Anyway, he comes home from jail that 30 days clean and he's exhausted because he couldn't sleep the entire time he was in there. So he's like at his end mentally wise. He comes home. I lay down because I'm not feeling good and I'm downstairs. He's upstairs and I hear a thud. And I yell up to him. He doesn't answer. And I go running up there. And he is full-blown convulsing on the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
So in order to sleep, he took just a tiny bit of whatever he was using, which by this point he had used multiple things. Then he full-blown OD'd. And I witnessed that. Thank God my children were not around at that moment. Had to call. Haven't taken to the hospital, but this is where things started to change and turn around. It's ironic because that fall from the chair and falling on his worst shoulder where his worst pain was resulted, we went to the hospital for an OD and they saved his life, but it resulted in finally them seeing something on the exam and on the x-rays. And they realized he needed a surgery and that he had compressed discs in his back and his neck. So now we have to wait because the judge is compassionate enough. He waits for us to get the surgery, but the pandemic puts it off and it turns into this big, long ordeal. But in the middle of all of this, I begin my spiritual awakening.
What is that?
And it was not easy. Yeah, it's what I was already going through it, but I hadn't known that this entire experience was my spiritual awakening. I just became aware of what a spiritual awakening was and what had been happening to me.
What does that mean for the listeners? You started aware of your spiritual awakening.
For me, it began with a lot of synchronicities, things you would consider a coincidence, but they began to mount up too much to be a coincidence. So it starts like this for a lot of people. You start seeing a lot of random duplicate numbers. Mm-hmm. So let's say you happen to look at the clock at 11:11 and you think, oh, that's cool. It's 11:11. Normally you'd blow that off, not think anything about it. Mm-hmm. Later that night, you look at the clock again. And let's say you don't look at the clock that often, only except for when you're in a hurry to go somewhere, planning something, and you just happen to see it's 11:11 again. Well, that's a coincidence twice in one day. Mm-hmm. But then it starts happening all the time. And then you see it on license plates when you're driving. Repeat
at the store.
Receipts, yes. Credit cards. I've seen it on the last four digits of a credit card. Mm-hmm. And it pops up on church signs, yeah. Street signs, yes, addresses. It's becomes to the point where you're like, what is up? This is not a coincidence. It can't be. So the you basically say the universe is trying to tell me something. Yeah. And I had a discussion with my daughter about it. By this time, she's 18, I believe. And she says, Mom, the same thing's been happening to me. And I'm like, get out of here. Are you serious? She's like, cool, I swear. And it happens to be the same numbers that I'm seeing. And, you know, there's infinite amount of number combinations out there. Now, granted, 11:11 is just one example, but it does tend to happen with consecutive numbers, 4-4-4, 3-3-3, and such.
I still get excited. It happens to me every day.
Oh, I do too.
Every hour on the hour. And I get so excited.
I do.
I always wink at the ceiling for some reason. When I think of my spirit, I call them my spirit entourage because I know there's not just one spirit helping me because I'm a hot fucking mess. So I know
you and your sister.
There's a team up there and they're like, okay, you know what? You're on call today, buddy, because she's having one of those days. But yes. I look up at the ceiling. For some reason, I think they're hanging out there.
That.
And I kind of wink and I'm like, go team. Thanks, Source. But yeah, that. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I imagine them like on days where they're like palm, you know, against their forehead or just feeling like they're banging their head on a wall. Like she's not getting it. She's not seeing it. What is with her? Yeah. But that's what I went through for 20 years and didn't realize all these messages were going on around me. And it wasn't just the numbers, but all kinds of random things where every time I get in the car, it was the same song that could come on. And then I'd go in the house, turn on the TV, and that song would be on the TV. Mm-hmm. And then I'd look up the lyrics and there'd be an important message that I really needed to hear that day. And absolutely. I started to look up those random numbers. And they call them angel numbers.
Angel numbers, yeah.
Yes. And you can look it up online.
I'm sure our listeners are going, oh my God, that's me. That's me.
Yes, because it's very common that spirit uses this to start the awakening process. But you can look it up online and it will have a message and it inevitably always makes sense to what you're going through at that moment. It's not something that made sense 10 years ago. It's something that is happening right now in your life and exactly what you need.
Or you'll overhear a conversation about someone who just read a really great book and then you get curious about it. And that's the thing about being aware is being aware of your surroundings and being present in the moment because we're so stuck in our heads. That I imagine that the most frustrating part, you know, for spirit is that we're looking for the big things. We want the big fucking ta-da. Yes. We want the roof to cave in and God to come in, but it's in the subtleties, and that requires an awareness.
Absolutely.
And that's being present in the moment.
That's it. And that's what a spiritual awakening is. And that's what I was going to say is it started with the little numbers and then it got more and more obvious. And the more they finally got my attention, and it took a long time. And once they finally got my attention, I started paying attention, being aware, making a point to be present and not 2 hours in the future, trying to plan what's going to happen later, not what happened in the past, but focusing on the moment. And I started noticing the messages everywhere. And the more I noticed them, the more I tuned into them, and the more they started guiding me with amazing insight. And then I awoke to the fact that spirit was in my life. I awoke. And I wound up finding out through their lessons and what they were teaching me that, yes, as you mentioned, you have a team of angels and past loved ones and other beings from different dimensions that volunteered in this lifetime to be there as your cheering squad, to guide you and provide support for you in everything that you do. And we're not aware of them being there. We forget until we have this awakening where we realize it. But the most important thing for me was realizing, and they brought my attention to the fact that what I always identified as the Holy Spirit with Christianity is real, but I have a different perspective on it now, in that I have a direct connection to Source all the time that resides within me. And I have the ability to receive valuable information from Him at all hours of the day that I can call on. And I didn't realize that was when I was on my knees on the floor at 3 a.m. crying and begging God, that I didn't even have to open my mouth. He heard everything I was saying in my head. He knew what I needed before I asked for it. And He was providing it, but I was too dark and too sad and too hurting to be able to see it.
And that's
an awakening. I tuned into it.
When we go through these, you know, and it's, you know, for those who are listening may say, well, it's easy for you to say, you're on the other side of it. But when we are, and you know what, I think that you will agree with me that a spiritual awakening, you know, and I hate to use that term loosely, because I find that I believe that the awakening process is a lifelong thing. And that's what we're here to do.
Absolutely.
Is to awaken to different lessons. But when you're in that much pain and sorrow and grief and shame and judgment, our vibration is so low that they can't reach us. And so I would offer to anyone who's listening that if you're in that moment where you're on your bathroom floor and you are crying, or you're screaming in your backyard like I did not so long ago, saying, I want the reset switch. You talk about this bullshit free will. I want out. I want to, you know, resign from this position. That the quickest way to be able to connect is and raise your vibration is through gratitude. So in that moment is whatever you can record to be grateful for, even if it's the bathroom floor. And just to say, you know what, I'm grateful that I have this bathroom floor to lay on, and that I'm not, you know, under a bridge somewhere. And that gratitude will raise your vibes, you know, even if it's just for a moment, that you'll be able to feel the connection to Source.
I agree 100%. I tell my clients, my students, that when they are in that heat of that pain and suffering, if they can just bring themselves to muster up enough belief that there is something out there higher than them, in the sense of a that has more control over things than they do. Let's put it that way. A higher power, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Yes. That if you can just muster up enough belief in that to talk to it and say whatever you need, and you can scream and you can yell and you can pound the floor. You know, I don't recommend hurting yourself, but you can say and be honest that you're freaking pissed. You're angry. Yeah. And you're hurting because they
and you can say that you don't remember signing up for this because they know that you don't remember. And it's their job to guiding you to remember in a way. And once you do, you can see the lesson, message, and gift in all of the experiences that we've signed up for. And I know that pisses a lot of people off, you know, because my belief is that we do choose our lessons. Now we have free will over ourselves and we don't have free will over those around us. So we choose the lesson. Sometimes the paths deviate and we go through a lot more, you know, pain and suffering than we anticipated. But once you realize that there is a lesson, message, and gift and a higher purpose to all of it, you can kind of connect the dots. And I find that that is the most beautiful thing. Once you start to connect the dots and you go, damn it, if I just would have known it while I was going through it, but then you wouldn't have been going through it.
You wouldn't. And I agree 100%. And I teach about that, our soul blueprint that we signed up for this, so to speak, that we agreed that we wanted to learn certain valuable lessons for ourselves, but also for those around us, because those around us play a powerful, pivotal role in our ascension and our consciousness levels, as well as we do in theirs. And we actually agree to work with one another to help each other learn and grow to a certain spiritual level. And in my hindsight now, it all makes sense. And that's what I want to encourage people. And that's what I teach people is, if you can keep hanging in there for one more day each time, and I know you'll get sick of hearing that and saying it, but I promise you, there is a time and a place where things will shift. And I agree with you, Emma, we are spiritually awakening an entire lifetime. We are. It's just there's different levels of it and periods of consciousness to the point where you become aware. And once you start to become aware, you're on that edge. You're right there where it's going to turn around. It may be a couple more years. It may be a few. It may only be a couple of months. But once you start realizing that and waking up to it and being more self-aware and listening for those messages, it starts to fall into place. It starts to make sense. And I promise you, there's a reason for what you're going through. And you can make something beautiful out of it. I can't promise you it's going to be the same as mine. You're going to have a different journey. But you can and will heal yourself. You can and will help others by being an inspiration with your story, whether it's just sharing with family and friends or whether it's getting out there and putting yourself out in the public. But that's what I really am on this side now. And I realize now that over the last year to 2 years, I went inward and started focusing on me because I hadn't been able to do that for so many years trying to save my family. It was all about them and I put them first. But once I started awakening to my purpose and why I was supposed to be going through this, I started saying, well, I have to focus on me then so that I can be that person.
It's true. And we are the persons that we ignore the most. And once you realize, I love what you said, and it's so beautiful, and I want to highlight it. Once you realize that you must heal yourself first, in order to be the best version of yourself, the best mother for your children, the best partner for your, you know, your spouse, or the best daughter, or the best relative, the best coworker, so you can show up as your best version. Because what happens is if you don't heal it, you will continuously, your wounds will be reopened and you will bleed onto everyone and everything you come into contact with. You will carry that with you.
So true. So true. And I really, really like to emphasize that to people because that's where my turning point was. That's when my life changed for the better. And now it will for the rest of my life. And I know it. I'm still going to go through bumps. It's not going to be perfect, but I know my life is so much better now and going to continue to be, because I know I cannot be there for others unless I am here for myself first. And so many people try to be healers, whether it be as a doctor or a nurse or a spiritual healer, energy healer, whatever it is. And they try and dive in out of their love for people head first, and they do a good job, but they're not able to tap into their full potential and their infinite power that is within them with their true spiritual gifts that they're blessed with, that they're not even aware of because they're so busy focusing on everybody else. But I tell them, I work with a lot of healers, and I tell them, you are a beautiful healer and you are, have a lot to offer right now. But can you imagine if you cleared all that baggage and that trauma and the suppressed emotions and got all that out of the way and you were free to fly? How much more powerful you would be then?
Absolutely.
Can you share? That's what I had to do with myself. Absolutely. I had to do that with myself. And that led to the transformation now where I can help others do the same.
Can you share with our listeners what your daily spiritual practice looks like? What do you do to keep yourself grounded and connected to source?
Yeah, sure. I love it now. I'll be honest with you. As you mentioned, spiritual awakening is not all roses and happy all the time. I have good days and I still have bad days, even in loving my life and having a great life now. And I literally love my life now in a way that I never thought I could, but I still have days that I'm off or down. So I realized how important energy is around me. If you think about when you walk into a room and there's negative energy and the mood is nasty, somebody's been arguing or somebody's grumpy and comes home from work in a nasty mood, how fast that affects you mentally and physically. You can just feel it. It's heavy. That's how important energy is around us. Energy helps us thrive. It helps us survive. We can't live without it. It helps us heal. So energy is my focal point of taking care of myself. Not just my energy, but everyone's around me that I have any power over or control over. And the ones I don't, I make sure it doesn't affect me. So daily, I start before I even get out of bed. I check in. I do a self-check-in with myself. Because not only do you take on energy from around you and other people's energy throughout the day, but you also do at night while you're sleeping. Now, some people may think I'm crazy, but I've learned throughout my journey, and I believe that we actually travel in our sleep, that we are, have the ability to move in and out of different dimensions with spirit while we're sleeping. Some people call it astral travel. There's different versions of it, but the point is you actually affect and are affected by energy even while you're sleeping. So when I awake in the morning, I listen and tune in by just being very quiet and present with my body, and I notice how it feels. Do I notice any discomfort? Do I notice any heaviness, especially in our energy centers and our chakras through the middle of your body, from your head down to your pelvic bone? There are major energy chakras centers. If that feels heavy or tingly or hot, or I just make note of it. That's all I do. I don't do anything with it at first. I just make note of it. Tune into it, feel how everything feels around me, and then I ground. Now, for me, you can ground your energy, and what that means is basically you are calming and balancing your energy, and I like to do it back to Mother Nature, back to the energy and frequency of the earth.
That's beautiful.
So when I'm able during the day, I do it outside, barefoot, by what they call earthing. I take my shoes off, dig the feet, the toes into the sand or the dirt or the grass, whatever you have access to. And I just stand there and soak it up. And you actually connect your energy with Mother Nature's, with Earth's, and that energy comes from the ground and it re-energizes and balances you. But I can't do that first thing in the morning, but I got to prepare myself before I go out. And if it's, you know, winter in Ohio, which it is for me right now, I just don't go out and do that. So I do it with visualization, which is very powerful. So I imagine while I'm laying in bed that I am, you can do it a couple different ways. You can either imagine that you're growing roots, like out of your feet going down to the ground, or you can imagine you're growing a cord from your feet or even your tailbone down to the ground. It's best if you can sit up and put your feet on the ground. But for me, for years, I was too sick to be able to do that. So I did it laying right in bed. And you know what? It works. It still works. The mind is powerful and the universe works with you. So I imagine that. And I imagine this cord going down into the center earth. And then I imagine it hitting either Now, see, and this is important, Emma, I teach this to my students. I actually imagine that I'm tuning into the middle of the new 5D earth, because fifth dimension is so strong and powerful and higher vibration than the 3D earth. But whatever works for you, I'm teaching my students to imagine in your mind what 5D earth would look like if it was in the center of the earth.
I see
water, and I see like a lake with, or a river with a waterfall, and I see crystals everywhere. This is just my version, whatever it is to you. I imagine that cord dropping down, like it's coming out of the sky because it's coming down from the earth down into middle earth and dropping into that beautiful crystal clear water. And then I imagine the energy of that water being soaked up through that cord, back up through the layers of earth. And I do it quickly. I don't dwell on specifics or details. There's no right or wrong way. Don't get caught up on it. So I imagine that just energy shooting up that cord right up into my body. And I imagine that just lighting me up like this beautiful energy that's in the middle of the earth going through my body.
That's beautiful.
Now this acts as grounding and balancing. So I ground and I balance my energy, and then I tune in again. Now I feel what feels like. Does that heavy energy or that weird tingling feel different? Did it go away? And almost always it does. It takes a little while for you to get attuned to energy to notice a difference. So don't feel bad if you don't notice anything right away. With exercise and practice, doing this daily, you tune into it more and you learn to notice the little differences. So I do that before I even get out of bed. And I want to give you one quick little tip too. People don't even realize you can just call on your higher self, which is another word for your soul, your spirit. Mm-hmm. I ask my higher self if I'm out during the day and things feel heavy or don't feel right or balanced. I will just call my higher self and I say, higher self, will you please clear and balance my energies for me? And I kid that. You not. Just setting that intention, and then I take a couple deep breaths in and out. Just doing that, you will start to feel and notice a difference. But that's my main practice. I also do meditate every day that I can. I'm not perfect. I do miss a day here and there. I don't beat myself up or judge myself. I just do it when I can. And meditation is whatever works for you and brings up your vibe. Don't get caught up in the trying to be perfectly still and perfectly quiet. It's whatever calms your brain and gets those monkey thoughts away.
Yeah.
And you just release them. You just ignore them as they come in. You let them go right back out. So if you play a little bit of music in the background, that works better for you, that's fine. Or you can do it quietly. I know people that sing and dance to get into a meditative state. Mm-hmm. Whatever works for you.
Living meditation as well, of being mindful in the moment. And you just have to find what works for you. Meditation
Absolutely.
Is about becoming the observer of your thoughts. And I think there's a lot of healing in that. And when you start off with meditation, even if you have 5 minutes, you sit with your thoughts. And the objective is not to shut down your mind or quiet your mind, as you were saying, but really to say, why am I feeling that right now? Why is that my dominating thought? And to
yes.
sit with the answer. And you'll become
exactly.
more comfortable with your thoughts, as opposed to saying, oh, I have to go to the grocery store. I should go do my groceries. And this is stupid. I shouldn't be sitting here for 5 minutes. Ask yourself, why do I feel that it's stupid for me to be gifting myself with 5 minutes of peace? And as you do that, you start to play this game with yourself, and it's really liberating. I'm
yes,
grateful that you shared that, shared your practice with us. And your story is one of, you know, major resilience. You're such an inspiration. And I'm so grateful that you did not give up, that the reset switch was not, you know, was not flicked, and that you're here to tell your story. I feel like there's going to be many more conversations, because that's heavy. I'm grateful that we've met, and thank you to our listeners. If you want to reach out and learn how you can work with Galiana, please tell us how our listeners can get a hold of you.
Yes, thank you. I am right now getting ready to introduce, this is a wonderful time to be checking into me, because I'm getting ready to introduce two new courses. So if you visit my website, you can find out more info about those at Galiana, G-A-L, IANNA.newzenler. So newzenler.com. You can go there. There's an about page where you can learn more about me. There is a page that will basically waitlist you, but tell you a little bit about the courses. Basically, without going into it too much, I can teach you how to peel back those layers of trauma and the emotions and the things that are keeping you stuck internally from moving forward on the things you want to accomplish in your life, as well as trigger points and tender points that get stuck in your body is what those classes are focusing on. So if you're interested, you can go there. Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook, by looking me up at Get Symbiotic. That's the name of my company, Symbiotic Souls. Get Symbiotic is all you have to do to put that in. And you can find me on YouTube under Galeana Angel as well. I would love to work with you. Just get to know you. I just want to make friends and connect, because that's how we truly work to change each other's lives.
That's how we elevate the consciousness and raise the vibrations of the world. It's been such a pleasure. And of course, all of Galeana's information will be in the show notes. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me and I will connect you. This has been remarkable. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to your listeners and everybody. We all need to work together right now. We can get each other through all the things we're going through. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to this episode of Coffee with Source, and we look forward to sharing another episode with you very soon.